Has he been a burden bearer? Has he been a heaven on Sarah? Do you know he will?
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know God loves me. I know God is good. I know God is gracious. I know God is faithful. And I know God will not leave me. He said, I will not leave you. That's what his commitment is. I will never, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means that you can know you will not be abandoned no matter how bad things get. He's going to be right there with you. He gave us his word. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. How many of you know he right there in the midnight hour? Glory to God. Paul and Silas got put in jail, didn't they? They got beat up, didn't they? For their faith in God, right? Did God leave them? No, he didn't leave them. Guess what they decided to do? At midnight, the Bible says, Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praises. They prayed and they sang praises in the midnight hour. And God manifested his presence, didn't he? Earthquake came. And the earthquake didn't just come to tap stuff. That earthquake came to loose their bonds. That earthquake came to set them free. That earthquake came because a man got saved in his whole household. And not just Paul and Silas, but God demonstrated his goodness to all of them men there. They in jail for doing something wrong. Not Paul and Silas, but a lot of them people in jail, they're there because they deserve to be there. And God loosed their bonds. Set them free. The presence of God was so strong in that prison that when all them prison doors flew open, did nobody leave? You know that's a miracle. People plotting on how to get out of there. You know you're in jail, you get think all day long, you think about how you can get out of there. Yeah, but then when the opportunity came, they couldn't leave. Because they were arrested by the presence of God. And the jailer came in. And he's trembling. Sirs, you know what's on his mind? What must I do to be saved? Oh, you got, man, you serve a God that what I got to do to get right with him? You know Paul and Silas didn't preach before they sang and prayed. That man took them out of jail. Took them to his house, bandaged them up. Paul and Silas preached Christ to him. What do I have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your whole house. So his whole household got saved, and then to keep that man from getting in trouble, Paul and Silas went back to the jail, so that the next morning when they came in, they was all there. They could have just took off right there and gone. No, they went back to the jail because they knew that they wasn't going to be abandoned by God. They understood that there was a power with them, a presence with them. The presence of God was with them whether they felt him or not. Presence of God ain't based on a feeling. The presence of God is based on an inward knowing that you have. You just got to know he with me. I don't feel him right now. I don't care if you feel him or don't. He's still there. Because he gave his word. And he's faithful to his word. He cannot walk away from you. He have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. So say this here, God is always with me. Well, I feel his presence or not. Now, if you get hung up on feeling, you're going to be like a yo-yo up and down. You'll be like on a roller coaster, peaks and valleys. Because you can't always feel his presence. He don't always make his presence known through your senses. But in your heart, you can know that he's with you just because he said he would be. Amen. Most of everybody that the Lord used in the Bible, he gave them his solid word. He made a solemn oath to him. I will be with you. When he called Moses going to Egypt, Moses said he tried to disqualify himself. I can't talk. I'm not qualified. I don't meet it. I don't meet the bill. And the Lord said, I'm going to be with you. When he sent Joshua into the promised land, he told Joshua, just like I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. He said, Joshua, I ain't going to let you down. So I know, that's another thing I know, he will not leave me. God spoke that to me so strong. Y'all know the story. One night he said, Greg, I will not abandon you. And I just received it. I just accepted that. I said, I wasn't sure that was him because I'm standing there and I'm praying over people around the altar, praying for the pastor, praying for the people. And I heard that. I will not abandon you. And I turned to look. I thought somebody was standing there on the steps of the sound booth. Wasn't nobody there. So I asked the question. I said, what did you say? I asked again. He said, I said, I will not abandon you. And boy, I had that word. I went over those words in my head. Just thought about them for a second. Just thought, I will not abandon you. What does that mean? I said, was that me? Is that the Lord? I said, well, I'm thinking. I said, if that had been me, I would have used the word forsake. I wouldn't have used the word abandon. I said, this must be the Lord. Then I said, what does abandon mean? Abandon means to leave one, to leave. It means to leave one to his own means. It means to be left without aid or support. You abandon something, that means you walk away from it. You leave it without aid or support. And then when I understood that, I said, this is what he's telling me. He's not going to leave me without aid or support. He's not going to walk off of me. He's not going to leave me to fend for myself. I'm not going to be left alone. He's going to be there supplying what I need. And then I said, okay. Close my eyes. Okay, I got it. And it's like that word went from my soul just drop down into my heart. And I feel it. Thump! Got it. I said, I got it. I got it, Lord. I got it. I received it. I got it. And after that, I wouldn't even entertain the thought of being left alone. I would not even entertain the thought of not having enough. And peace came on me. That's what happened when you receive the word. Peace come into your soul. Then I couldn't worry about nothing. Still didn't have no more answers than what I had when he said it. Still didn't know what I was going to do in the natural. I ain't had no more answers after that word than I had when I started. But I had a word from God that contained everything I needed. And when I received that, I received the peace, the wisdom, and everything just set in motion. It just set some stuff in motion in my life. And I believed, and I told CeCe, and she got in agreement with it. I said, CeCe, he said he wouldn't abandon us. And we believed it. You got to believe that he will not leave you. You just got to believe that. Say, God will not abandon. All right, say it like you mean it now. Say, he won't leave me nor forsake me. He with me when I can't feel him. I have fellas that come by here from time to time. My heart go out to him. But I recognize that until he really believed the word, he going to be like a dog chasing his tail. Going around in circles. Because every time he come here, he in the same circle. I say, man, why don't you just believe what God told you? And guess what he tell me? But, man, I just don't feel him. I just don't feel God. I should feel something. I just don't feel God. I'm supposed to feel something. And I tell him over and over, I say, look, faith is not a feeling. I said, man, why don't you just put your feet down and just believe that, you know, he doubting whether he's saved, doubting whether God loves him, doubting whether God is with him, because he just don't have a feeling that he thinks he ought to have. I said, man, you're never going to get it.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Strongholds are breaking. Yokes are being destroyed. Burdens are being removed by the authority and the power of the Word of God.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana.
I'd like to invite you to our annual Word Explosion beginning September 8th through the 11th.
This conference is designed to strengthen you, empower you, equip you, and bless you by focusing on the life-changing power of the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We're going to saturate ourselves for 4 days and nights in the Word of God and see God perform His Word with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost.
This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of revelation, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans. These ministers will bring a fresh revelation of God's Word with power and demonstration.
You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings as we allow God to speak to us from His Word.
Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion.
Plan now to attend the Word Explosion
beginning September 8th through the 11th
at the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com.
Get ready for an explosion of the Word of God. I look forward to seeing you there, and may God richly bless you.
The Word Christian Center is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT 88.1.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online, anytime, 24/7. At www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to commence reading at verse 18. And it says of the fifth chapter of Ephesians, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Dealing with a total quality marriage. One of the reasons why people are joined together is to enhance what already exists. Marriage takes both love and life to a whole new level. Marriage must, however, especially covenant marriage, godly marriage, must have its root in the will of God. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But let me hasten to say, everything that's joined together, God didn't join it. It is clear, because God would never join darkness with light. He separated them. God would never join saved with unsaved. God would never join right with wrong. God would never join together those two persons who are diametrically opposite of one another and cannot enhance one another. But however, because he respects the institution of marriage, and you have made a choice to be with whoever you're with, God has sanctified it. And so therefore, just because now you found out that she or he ain't him or her, it doesn't give you no right to run down to the divorce court and say, I want a divorce. But it has happened, and it does happen, because as I stated this morning, we do not love with the love of God. If couples love each other, as 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 reveals, with that God kind of love, that would never be another divorce in the Christian world again. We don't know these things, and that's why the devil wreaks havoc in our relationships, in our marriage. I shared earlier, when a couple comes to me and they are in counseling, and we get to the part where we go over the vows, and the part is read where, especially to the young lady, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, obey him. And she looks with that look on her face like, you kidding, I ain't got to say that part, do I? And I inevitably say to her, is there a problem? And I explained to the church earlier that if the woman has a problem obeying the man that is the head of the relationship, he is the priest of that household. He is the one, like Adam, that God has given charge over that situation. If he's not the one who has your best interest, who loves you like Christ loved the church, then you've got a problem. You ought not be getting married now. Amen. Why would you have a problem obeying someone who loves you like Christ loved the church? Why would you have a problem obeying someone who would never disrespect you, do anything wrong, lead you wrong, who always has your best interest? Why would you have a problem doing that? Unless you know it's already messed up. Marriage is not a cure-all. You got people who are messed up now because they love the idea of being married. And so they rush into marriage with the wrong person, and then they realize that it was not all it was cracked up to be. Marriage is a joined union between believers, biblically speaking, that God has brought together for his glory and for their good. Now, understand this, because if you're in a situation where you are already, again, at that point and place where you're married, you need to see, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't have time to go and deal with it. Please go through it. Look at verses 4 through 8. And if you follow them, I promise you, if you will take responsibility for your part, you won't have to worry. God will handle the rest. Now, I want to get here because there are some things that I want us to see in Ephesians here, because it deals with a qualitative marriage here. And first of all, it's saying, wherefore, verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, unwise folk don't understand what God's will is. Here, it moves on. It's talking about the godliness, et cetera, talking about the family and the structure and the church and all of that. But you've got to know what the will of God is in that arena as well. One of the things that it says, and I want to lift up in verse 18, the last word, but it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess,
but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is where I want to begin, because if we are baptized and born again with the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God bears fruit. It is in the fruit that we understand that the Spirit is the root of all that we do. He is the root. He's the guide. He's the foundation. He's the structure. And so when we have him in our relationships, first of all in our life and then in our relationships, then he gives us guidelines. He gives us characteristics and traits of himself. And they are found, if you just back up to Galatians, the book right before Ephesians, and you want to see in chapter 5 some things that it says about him and his characteristics. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and the first fruit of the Spirit that's evidenced in your life and then in your relationship and then in your marriage is love. And if you couple that with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, you're going to see love, that strong foundation, again, that God kind of love, that is a real love, a rich love, a pure love, an everlasting love, is the very thing that's going to keep you together when your love gets weak. See, we love folk because of. And so when they act up, our love act up. But when we love folk in spite of, then regardless of how they act up, we still love them anyhow. Because Jesus says, love ye one another even as I have loved you. So that means because he's loved you with an agape love, when your eros love, that love between man and woman, seems to dissipate or seems to get weak, if you continue to love them with agape love, I promise you it'll get strong again. God's word is real. God's word is sure. God's word is right. I shared before with folks, you don't fall out of love. You fall out of focus. And when you fall out of focus, wherever you focus your attention, that's where your feelings. Nothing more but. Oh, y'all know the song. I don't sit there and act like you don't. Because here's what you realize or recognize in the same regard, that the person that caught your attention and your affections before, you focused on them, and somewhere in the marriage you lost your focus. And because your feelings are connected to your focus, you lost your feelings. But I promise you, if you just go back and focus more intently on what you found the first place, you will still find it in them if you focus enough there. Now, here's the problem. Some of us are cockeyed. You know what that means, don't you? That's when it looks like I'm looking at you with one eye and the other eye. And so some of you can't focus because you can't do a single focus. And that means your feelings are split. Trying to love too. Come on, somebody. Don't act all holy there. Ain't easy to do. Y'all don't know that, huh? Okay. All right. I'm going to preach anyhow. I'm going to hit you right where you live, trying to help you out. God said you can't love him and mammon. You're going to love one or hate the other. You're going to have to cleave to the one and leave the other. That's where your focus. Listen to this. And lest you think that it's always another woman or another man, it can be your children. It can be your mama, your daddy. It can be your best friend. It can be anybody who takes the focus off of your mate. It could be your job. But it means that you've lost your focus. And so your feelings go running right behind your focus. And so whatever it is you focus on loving strong enough, your love starts growing for that. And so that's why we've got to understand that if we focused on God's word will bring into us those things that we need to keep our focus the way that he wants it to be, so that we can get out of the relationship what is necessary. Now, again, Galatians 5 and 2 and 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing. But right after love, it's connected to joy.